We miss it.
You don't scare us.
After midnight.
Tonight's Kapitel Tehillim is not part of davening. Lamed Gimel, we're spoiled. Lamed Gimel was part of davening. Lamed Dalet was part of davening. But tonight's Kapitel, which is Lamed Hey, 35, overwhelmingly is not part of davening. In other words, the Lamed Hey, Zelo Chelek Me'atfila. With one exception, we'll see that there is one pasuk in the Kapitel that is familiar to us from davening. And I'll leave it as a surprise so that when we get there, we'll see it. But the chapter as a whole is not part of davening. The theme of chapter Lamed Hey is really expressed right in the very beginning of the Kapitel. L'David, this is also authored by David HaMelech, which we'll see is important as we go through. Rivo Hashem es Yirivai. Hashem, fight my fights for me. L'cham es lochamoi. And fight my battles on my behalf. This entire Kapitel is taken with the idea of David HaMelech turning to Hashem and saying, Hashem, I have many enemies. Please stick up for me against my enemies. Having said that, in general terms, I think we'll see very quickly as we go through the Kapitel that there's a very clear demarcation in the chapter between two types of enemies that David HaMelech is fighting against. Yeah? Oh, I'm sorry. So, there are two types of enemies that David HaMelech has to deal with. And I think, again, as we go through the Kapitel, there's a very, very clear distinction between these two types of enemies. And the way in which David HaMelech asks Hashem to help him with both of these enemies is very different one from another. And, you know, that I think will be the theme. The two types of enemies will be an important theme as we go through. So David starts off again saying, Riva Hashem is Rivai, Ilcham is Lochamoy. Fight my battles for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fight against those who need to be fought against. Hachazek Mogein Vitsina. Hold the shield for me, Hashem. Mogein and Tsina are two different types of shields, one of metal, one of leather. V'kuma be'ezrasi, and rise up for my defense. V'horek chanis, pull out the lance or the sword. Uskor l'kras rodfoy, and block the passageway. Skar, like to close it. Close off the passageway in order to prevent those who are pursuing me from being able to follow me. Kivyachol, the imagery is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, standing with a sword in hand, blocking the passageway, defending David HaMelech, who's running in the other direction. Emar l'nafshi, Hashem, say concerning my soul, Yeshua seich ani, I will be your salvation. Come and save my soul. Yevoshu v'yikolmu mevakshei nafshi, may those who seek my soul to do bad to it, may they be embarrassed and humiliated. Yisogu achar, may they retreat. V'yachperu, and may they be humiliated. Choshvei ra'asi, those who think to do bad to me. Yiyu kemotz lifnei ruach, they should be like the chaff that scatters in the wind. Again, for us living in a non-agricultural society, we don't have the image, but if you lived in an agricultural society where they're winnowing all the time and the chaff is blowing away in the wind, they should be like the chaff that blows away in the wind. Umaloch Hashem doche, such that God's angel is pushing them away, pushing them out, and that they're not going to bother me. You darkom, their path should be choshek v'chalak lakos. Their pathway should be dark and slippery. Right, Baruch Hashem, we can relate.
Yeah.
Right. Chalak means something which is smooth. Right. So in this context, it means it should be smooth and slippery. Yehi darkom choshek v'chalak lakos. The path of my enemy should be dark and slippery. Umaloch Hashem rodfam. And again, God's angels should pursue them, should chase after them, so that they're stumbling and slipping in the dark. Kichinam tomnuli shachas vishtam. Because they put out their trap or their net for me, that I should fall into the grave. Chinam, for naught, for no good reason. I didn't deserve it. I don't know why they're running after me. Chinam chafru l'nafshi. They have dug a pit for my soul. L'chinam. For no good reason. Tivo'eyu sho'ah. May a sho'ah, may a catastrophe befall these enemies. Now, we know in modern days the Shoah was the term which was borrowed for a Holocaust, but it's a traditional word that goes back to the Tanakh itself. Any type of calamity is described as a Shoah. Let a Shoah, let a calamity come upon them. Lo yedah, such that they don't know, they can't prepare themselves for it. Virishto asher toman, and the net which he has planted and hidden, which he, the enemy, has planted for me, tilkado. May he be caught by that net. Bishoa yipol ba, and may he fall into that very net, into that calamity which he planned for me. V'nafshi togil bashem, my soul, meanwhile, will rejoice with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the enemy falls into this pit, as the enemy is caught by his own trap. Tosis bishua sal, my soul will rejoice in the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here comes the pasuk from the Davening. Kol atzmosai tomarna. Let all of my bones say, Hashem, mi chomocha. Hashem, who is like you? Matzil oni mechazok mimenu. You save the poor person from someone who's stronger than him. For oni ve'evion migozlo. And you save the poor person and the really destitute person from the person who would want to steal from him. That pasuk we quote at the very end of Nishmas. I would say Nishmas Shabbos morning. We say that all of our bones should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we quote Ka'amur, as it says, Kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem michamocha. We quote the whole pasuk. All of my bones should say Hashem, who is like you. Matzil oni michazik mimenu, for oni ve'evi on migozlo. You save the poor person from the one who's stronger than him, and the poor person from the one who wants to steal from him. Thus concludes, as I believe, the first part of this Kapitel Tehillim. And it's rather straightforward. David HaMelech is pursued by enemies. That certainly describes much of David HaMelech's career, where the enemies are running after him and physically trying to kill him and to destroy him. And he turns in desperation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me. How should you save me? Save me physically. I'm being threatened physically by these enemies. They want to kill me. Right? So you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come and physically destroy them. Stand there, so to speak, with your sword. Stand there, so to speak, with your shield. Let them fall into the trap that they have prepared for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me. And then, Kol atzmosai tomarna Hashem yichamocha, all of my bones are going to praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful expression. The Malbim comments on this expression as follows. Hadover shebonase hanes, hu haomer v'hameid al hanes. That thing which is the beneficiary of the miracle is the thing which then gives thanks to God for the occasion of the miracle. Uva'asher naseli hanes b'chol efse mi'atzmosai b'chol ever. Now, what was saved? What part of David HaMelech was saved over here? All of him, right? In other words, it wasn't that they were going to kill his arm or kill his leg. They were going to kill him. It would have been the end of all of him. So being that you saved me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you saved all of me, so all of me praises you. Every single, kol atzmosai tomarna, every bone in my body, every limb that I have will sing your praises, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you've saved the whole of me. Right? It's not that my hand has to thank you. It's not that my leg has to thank you. It's my everything has to thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you've saved my guf. You've saved my body in this very beautiful way.
And it's right, somebody will say, I did such and such a thing, like for school or whatever, and I had Yeshua, and you're supposed to publicize that.
Right. Right. In fact, we'll see that idea even more explicitly later on in the same kapitel, in a couple of psukim. Right? But here, kol atzmosai tomarna, I was saved physically from these enemies who were seeking to destroy me physically, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu physically brought down the enemies as opposed to me. Parenthetically, many Sfarim say that this pasuk is the source of the idea of shuckling while davening. Why do we shuckle while we daven? All of my bones should say, Hashem, who is like you, if I just sit back in my chair and I daven. So my mouth is saying, Hashem, who is like you, but my bones aren't saying it. When I go like this...
I saw somewhere right? That it's not the right thing to do. It's yeah. Shuckle.
Right, so there's a big debate. There's a big debate going back centuries whether, you know, to shuckle or not to shuckle. I think Shakespeare once said, that's the question, right? You know, should you shuckle, should you not shuckle? That's how I remember from high school, right? So the truth is, yes. Right, so what does that mean? There are those who say that it's a very important idea to shuckle. They root it in this pasuk. They root it in the pasuk that describes Matan Torah. Vayar ha'am vayonu'u. The people saw Matan Torah, and they, one way to translate the pasuk is they shook. So we shake, you know, when experiencing, you know, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The flip side, which is associated particularly with the Vilna Gaon, is to say, no, if you came before a king, you know, and you said, oh king, you started shaking back and forth, oh king, please grant my request. It's not the covetic, it's not nice. You wouldn't stand in front of a king like that.
It's more respectful if you're saying it straight.
Right. So that's the other perspective. So,
some of them are so used to it.
So the bottom line is it good to shuckle? Is it not good to shuckle? You can find support for both positions. If you recall, when we learned the Kuzari a couple of years back, the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, again, going back centuries, the Kuzari was written back in the 1100s. So the Sefer HaKuzari writes that how did shuckling come about? He says, very simple. They used to only have one Sefer. So all of the Talmidim would gather around the Sefer, and you know, everybody had to, some people had to go like this, some people had to go like that. And you know, eventually that became associated with davening and learning, that everybody's kind of looking up and peeking and seeing and, you know, whatever it is. So again, I'm not making this up. This is Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, you know, centuries ago writes this, Hele Gerishon, you know, it's not just Tom. So that's what he writes. He says, yeah, the whole shuckling thing, that's where it comes from. It's all people were trying to peek in to see the Sefer. To this day, they say that, you know, in the Yemenite schools, going back a couple of decades ago, before the creation of the State of Israel, they didn't have too many Sfarim. So in the traditional Yemenite Chadarim, they had one Sefer, and some, right, they read from around, and some Yemenite children learned how to read only upside down. Because they would be on the other side of the Sefer. They could only identify the letters upside down. So that's they only had to read when it's upside down. That's what they say.
But when you shuckle, you put more feeling into it.
Right. So again, you know, I'm not going to be pro shuckle. I'm not going to be anti shuckle. You have very firm. It's an ancient practice. Again, you're not living in the 1100s. It's already talking about the fact that people shuckle when they daven. You know. So that's it's centuries old. And again, you have. What's that? No, he doesn't call it shuckling. I mean, the truth is, the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wrote in Spanish. So, no, it's a translation. Arabic, I'm sorry. It was written a religion in Arabic, so it's a translation. So, I don't know what he called it in Arabic, but. It was originally written in Arabic, yeah, because that was the Spanish Jews. That's what they spoke. You know, those are Arab ways.
He was shuckled. Takes away. Right. You can't follow him.
So it depends. Sometimes people throw things at the Baal Tefillah, so that's you know, the Baal Tefillah has to move back and forth so he doesn't get hit. You know, that's probably where it comes from. Okay, so you have anyway. Some relate the concept of shuckling to this pasuk. Call out smells tight so mandal that all of my bones say it. So my bones should all move back and forth in order to indicate this. In any case, coming back to the content of the kapitel, so David HaMelech very beautifully describes there are my physical enemies. They're physically out to get me, and Hashem, I want you to stand up to them physically. Then we begin a focus on a different type of enemy, and here. The feeling in the kapitel changes very abruptly. Yekumun Eidei Chamas. There rise up against me false witnesses. Asher lo yodati yishaluni. They pretend that they borrowed from me, yishaluni in the context, in the sense of to borrow. They pretend that they borrowed from me, but it's something that I have no recollection of whatsoever. I don't know about it. And the Radak over here makes the following, following observation over here. He says, we don't find in Sefer Shmuel, which describes the life of David HaMelech, a specific reference to false witnesses coming and claiming that David HaMelech owed people money that he didn't really owe them. But says the Radak, based on this pasuk, apparently that must have been one of the many false accusations which were hurled against David HaMelech, and just we only find reference to it over here, but not in the story of David's life. Meaning, when we read the story of David's life, there were certainly many people out there who had all kinds of complaints against David HaMelech, both before he became king, as well as after his becoming king. And apparently this was one of the things that was brought up during his lifetime. People accused him of having owed people money. And in fact, you know, the accusations were fabrications. He didn't owe anyone anything. But, you know, they wanted to besmirch his name, so they made all kinds of, yeah, he owes people millions and millions of shekels, or whatever it happens to be, in order to portray David HaMelech as being someone who was unreliable. Here he mentions this here in this capital to Tehillim, they rise up against me to say false testimony about me. Yishalmui ra'ah tachas tova. They pay back evil instead of the good that I did to them. Shechol linafshi. They try to bring death to my soul. Va'ani, as for me, b'chalosam, when these people were sick, levushi suk, I was really concerned about them. I put on sackcloth when these people were sick. The very same people who are accusing me now of all kinds of false and terrible things, I was their friend. I thought I was their friend. When they got sick, I went and put on sackcloth, you know, as a sign of my identifying with them. Inesi batzol nafshi. I fasted for them. I mean, how many people fast for somebody else? I fasted for them when they were sick. Usfilasi al cheki soshuv. And I, my tefila, which you know, went out on these people, it went back to my lap. It was something that I offered up very, very wholeheartedly on their behalfs. Kireya ke'ochli his'alochti. I walked with them as if they were my friend and as if they were my brother. I thought these people were the closest people to me. Ka'avil ein koder shachosi. In fact, when they experienced difficulties, I was bent over like someone who was mourning for a mother, or another way to translate it is like a mother who's mourning for a child. In other words, when they experienced hardship, I was there for them. I was more than empathetic. I was living their difficulties with them. Uvitzal'i, but when I limped, in other words, when I experienced, I'm sorry? What's the last word? Koder Shachosi, I was bent over. I was bent over. Uvid Sali, but when I was limping, but Soleya, we say Yaakov Ovinu and Chumash was after the fight with the Malach, who Soleya al Yerecho, he was limping on his thigh. Uvid Sali, when I experienced problems, when I was limping, Samchu, they were happy. Venetzafu, they gathered together. Nesfu alai nechim. They came, they gathered around me, they were all nechim. They were also lame. But he doesn't mean that they were lame in the physical sense. They were lame, they were deficient in the moral sense. I was limping, but they were lame. These so-called friends. You know, I mean, it's not so different from the use of the English term, right? You know, but it's much worse than the use of the English term. Not just that they were lame in the sense that they couldn't tell good stories, right? But they were lame. They were lacking something morally. They came around me, and they pretended to be my friends, and really they weren't at all. V'lo yodati, I didn't even know. Kara'u v'lo damu, they ripped, and they were not silent. What does that mean? They were ripped, and that they were not silent. So the Malbim says as follows. Very, very interesting pshat. He says, when I was sick and I was going through hard times, these so-called friends gathered around me and they were already tearing kriya on me. In other words, they gave me up for dead already. Velo damu. And they weren't even silent about it. You know, it wasn't like, oh, Nebuch, you know, poor David HaMelech is passing away. They loudly ripped their clothing, you know, to let me know that they were happy that I was on the way out. B'chanfei la'agei ma'og. These people laughed and scoffed at me. Now, the word b'chanfe and la'age, those are both terms, or la'age means to make fun of. Chanfe means to flatter someone. So again, these were people who flattered me and yet made fun of me. B'chanfe la'age. They were flattering me to my face. They made fun of me behind my back. And then the word ma'og is a very difficult word to translate. So the Malbim writes that ma'og and la'age are the same root. Right? They say they have the same ayin gimel. Right? So ma'og, he says, is just a way of reiterating that la'age ma'og, you know, they scoffed at me, they made fun of me. Many Mefarshim, including Rashi, give a totally different explanation. They say ma'og is related to the word for cake, which we know is uga. Right? So they scoffed, they flattered me, and they scoffed over
me.
Right, that could be, right? Right, we'll get there.
Me
right. They scoffed, we'll get to that, yeah. Rashi says they scoffed and they made fun of me for cake. What does it mean that they made fun of me for cake? Right? So one way to interpret it, Rashi says, is that they were eating and drinking, you know, and partying and making fun of me. In other words, they all, you know, I was suffering and they all went out to the bar afterwards and they had some cake, you know, while they made fun of me. You know, the ultimate, you know, the ultimate cruelty, the ultimate lack of sensitivity. You know, they don't care at all. They're going to have a party. The Mitzvot David and the Radak suggest over here that why did these friends betray me? Because someone bought them off with some cake. That's how good friends they were. Somebody brought them a cake and said, could you turn in David HaMelech? And they said, oh, chocolate frosting. Huh? Okay, we're there. Yeah, David who? Right? We don't remember any David. Right? And again, that's the ultimate treachery. You know, I mean, it's one. They were easy. They sold out for a pittance. You know, give us some cake. Yeah, okay, fine. And we'll betray David HaMelech. Another way to interpret it, again, as Rebbe Hefler says, is that Ma'og is from the word ma'agal, a circle.
Right. Together.
Right, that's the Malbim says. La'age ma'og goes together. Another word to, you know, chori ha-ma'agil, og uga, right? You know, what he's described as making is a circle. So they surrounded me as well. That's another way to understand it. Again, whatever the interpretation is, these are fair weather friends in the ultimate sense of the term. According to some interpretations, they're ready to sell out David HaMelech for some strawberry shortcake. Right, charok alai shinemo. They grind their teeth against me. They pretend to be my friends, but really, you know, they have it in for me. Adokoi, my master Hashem, kamosire. How much more of this are you going to look on and be passive about? Hoshiva nafshi mishoehem. Please restore my soul from the darkness which they want to bring upon me. Mikfirim yichidosi, bring back my yichida, my soul, from these lions, these people who seem to be my friends, but are really my deep enemies. And if you do that, Hashem, odecha b'kahal rav, I will acknowledge you and thank you in the midst of a great congregation. Ba'am otsum ahalileka, I will praise you amidst a tremendous number of people. Al yismuchuli oivai sheker. Let not these enemies of mine, who are, you know, false enemies, these people of sheker, they are, one way to interpret oivai sheker is that they're enemies of me for no good reason. But I think in light of some of the psukim that we read before, you can say that the very nature of these enemies is they are people of sheker, they're people of falsehood. Right? These are fair weather friends. They portray themselves as being my friends, but really they're my enemies. Let them not rejoice over me. Sonai chinam. Those who hate me for no good reason, for nothing. Yikrit su ayin. Are winking their eyes in my direction. Again, yeah, we're his friends. Wink, wink, wink. Right? That hasn't changed in centuries. Ki lo shalom yedaberu. Because ultimately they're not talking peace about me. They talk peace to me, but they don't talk peace about me. V'al rigei eretz, and on the broken open parts of the land, divrei mirmos yachshovun, they are contemplating all kinds of treacherous thoughts against the rigei eretz, against those people who are downtrodden on the world. V'yachivu alai piem. They open their mouths wide against me. Amru he'och he'och. They say ha ha. They laugh at me. Ra'asa einenu. They say our eyes have seen the defeat of David. Ra'isa Hashem. You Hashem see all of this. Al techerash. Don't be silent. Adokoi al tirchak mimeni. My master, don't be far away from me. Ha'ira. Arise, v'hakitza, and wake up, l'mishpati, for my judgment. Judge on my behalf, Elokai, my God, v'adokoi, and my master, l'rivi. Please, represent my judgment. Shafteinu kitzidkecha, Hashem Elokai. Judge me in accordance with your justice, Hashem, my God. V'al yismachuli, and let them not rejoice over me. Al yomu b'libom he'ach nafshenu. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, our soul goes ha against David HaMelech. Al yomru bilanuhu. Let them not say we have swallowed him up. Yevoshu v'yachbaru yachtov smechei razi. Let those people who are happy at the evil that befalls me, let them be embarrassed and humiliated together. Yilbushu voshas uchlima. Let them wear clothes of degradation and of humiliation. Amagdilim olai. Those who raise themselves up over me. In contrast, Yaronu v'yismuchu chafetzei tzidki, those who really desire that things should be good for me, let them be happy and let them rejoice. V'yomru somad yigdal Hashem, let them say always that Hashem will be raised up. Hechafet shlom avdo, God who desires the peace of His servant. Ulishoni teged tzidkecha kol hayom tehilosecha. My mouth will then speak of your righteousness, and the entire day it will speak of your praises.
You must have had terrible enemies.
Well,
Could he be exaggerating?
The truth is, he had a very hard life.
He had very good friends.
I mean, right. I mean, his father-in-law ran around trying to kill him. So I mean, it wasn't right. His son ran around trying to kill him. Right.
Achitofel, his best friend.
Right. So it's not exaggerated. I mean, he had a lot of problems, a lot of sorrows. What's that?
A noble term, kibirim or lions, things like that.
Right. So I think that goes back to let me backtrack a little bit, and then we'll talk about the kibirim a little bit. The second part of the kapitel also talks about enemies. But I think there's an incredible... I think it's very obvious going through the kapitel, there's a major difference between the enemies of part 1 and the enemies of part 2. The enemies of part 1 are the obvious enemies, right? It's when he's fighting against, a Moav and an Edom. In other words, the enemies who are enemies of war, and enemies who make their intentions to be enemies clear, and the enemies who are challenging him in the arena of battle. So to those enemies, again, those are obviously forces to be reckoned with, and David HaMelech turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, look, I've got all of these quote-unquote external enemies, these people who are fighting against myself and Klal Yisrael. Ribbono Shel Olam, save my guf, save my body from these external enemies. And when my guf is saved, how do I praise Hashem? Kol atzmo saitoman Hashem yichamocha. My body, my bones, will praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. But there's a second type of enemy, says David HaMelech, and this enemy is much more insidious. This enemy is the enemy who pretends to be a friend, and he doesn't try to attack me with a spear or with a knife or with a gun or something like that, this enemy uses his mouth and his eyes and his actions to very subtly undermine my position. And it's clear, just in terms of the build up, the structure of the capital, David HaMelech spends less on the, talking about the first kind of enemy and much more talking about the second kind of enemy, because obviously it's much more painful to David HaMelech to discover that here's somebody whom he thought was a friend. And, you know, it's heart-wrenching how he describes it. These are people, when they were sick, I fasted for them. And it turns out that these are people who would put false witnesses up against me in court and drag me down. You can feel the pain in the psukim that David HaMelech is expressing. Here are these people, I thought these were my friends, and really it turns out to be my enemies. Right? These enemies are far worse. I think that's the message of this capital. These fair-weather friends, you know, these seeming friends who turn out to be enemies, are far worse than the Edoms and the Moavs and the all of the external enemies that I'm fighting on the battlefield. Right? Yeah, I know he's my enemy. Okay, I understand that. This guy I thought was my friend, and he turns out to be my enemy. That David HaMelech is besides himself with grief, trying to understand what's going on over here.
According to him, he's innocent.
Right.
He just has these enemies for nothing. Right. He didn't do anything.
Right. Well, the truth is, that is true. I mean, that is the whole story of Sefer Shmuel. Why does Shaul hate David? Right? Because Shaul saw David as
a friend. He saw that he was losing the throne.
Right.
And he was going to take over.
Right.
So there was a reason for it. But why would these people, that he was so nice to them, and he prayed for them, and
jealous,
why would they be his enemies?
Right. So it's not clear what point in David HaMelech's life he's referring to, but the truth is there are a lot of points which hit that. I mean, take the example of Achitofel, right? So here's someone who's David's Rebbe, right? And David's closest advisor. And when David's own son turns against David HaMelech, Achitofel picks up and goes to the other side, right? And I'm sure this capital could have been said about an Achitofel. More than that, this capital could have been said about Avshalom, and Adoniyahu, and all the people who joined all of those causes. I'm sure, we know from the Tanakh, I mean, many of those people who joined the various revolutions against David HaMelech were David HaMelech's closest friends and advisors. Right, and I'm sure David HaMelech was just aghast at how these people who had, again, you know, been his closest advisors and friends, then you turn around and you can't rely on them at all. And this was shocking for David HaMelech. I mean, you read through the psukim, you can just see the pain in the psukim that's coming out about, you know, the sense of betrayal that David HaMelech is experiencing. How does one react to a salvation from fair weather friends, right? From these second type of enemies? So whereas in the first part of the capital, the guf, the body, is what gives thanks to Hashem because the guf was saved, if you look in the second part of the capital, the guf, the body, is really not mentioned at all. It's the nefesh, the yechida, the neshama, which is under attack. Because these people aren't necessarily looking to harm me physically. They're looking to undermine my standing. They're looking to undermine my reputation. So when David HaMelech, you know, expresses his thanks to Hashem for having been saved from these people, he says, "Odecha b'kahal rav." Not that my body will praise you, Hashem. I, with my mouth, will praise you in the midst of a great assemblage. I'll tell many people about how I experienced this, and that's how the capital ends. Ulishoni taget sidkecha. My tongue will recount your greatness, kol hayom tehilosecha, the whole day I'm talking about your greatness, because a physical salvation can be expressed physically. A salvation which is more subtle, being saved from people who want to undermine me, that's something that has to be expressed more subtly as well, that the lashon, that the tongue ultimately has to express, you know, the fact that the person is experiencing a salvation, in this case, David HaMelech. I think, just to go back to the question about the kfirim, you know, why are these enemies referred to as kfirim, as lions, right? So I think, you know, the choice is deliberate. A lion has a certain nobility, an appearance of nobility about it, but a lion can be vicious. And I think that's the metaphor for these people. They put on an image of nobility, of being the friends of David HaMelech, of being those who are at his side, but you get them hungry, you know, like a hungry lion.
They don't kill the ruins of anybody.
What's that?
They kill just because they're hungry.
The lion, right. Right, so I think he's comparing them to a hungry lion. In other words, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the downfall of David HaMelech was satisfying their hunger. You know, so they felt the need to jump in and to maul David HaMelech, to rip apart David HaMelech. So that's, he compares them to these kfirim. They may seem to be noble and wonderful on the outside, but it's not really true once you get to know them. The lessons, you know, of the kapitel, I think, are, you know, things that we can relate to. David HaMelech is essentially saying, enemies on the outside, wars, not so bad. Enemies on the inside, you know, enemies who pretend to be your friends and then stick in the knife when you turn around, that's worse than anything. And the truth is, anyone,
you go from under you, like you don't know where you are.
Right. And the truth is, anyone can relate to that. You know, I assume most of us in this room can't really relate to the idea of going out into battle and fighting in the physical sense of the term, you know, unless someone here is from Brownsville or something like that. But, you know, we're not warriors. We don't really appreciate, in the fullest sense of the term, you know, the first part of the kapitel. But the second part of the kapitel, that's, you know, something that unfortunately many, many people experience in their social lives, you know, people they thought they could rely upon, business lives, personal lives, you know, there are all kinds of relationships that we have that go sour, and the people we thought were the closest to us then all of a sudden reveal themselves to be our sworn enemies. This is the kapitel to focus on when that happens. This is the kapitel that gives us chizuk, that, you know, gives us a certain sense of strength, that when that does happen, you know, David HaMelech went through far worse than anything we could ever imagine. Again, having over and over again this experience of his closest family members and confidants, you know, turning on him. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled David HaMelech to get through these things, you know, we can feel a sense of strength that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us the chizuk and the wherewithal to be able to, you know, to weather when relationships go sour as well. So this kapitel, although it's not part of the davening, is something which, you know, it's unfortunately it's a good one to keep the bookmark on, because sooner or later most people in life, you know, run into relationships that, you know, which disappoint, right, and where friends become enemies and, you know, leave much to be desired. Anyways, we should finish on good things. Bez Hashem, we'll meet up next week. Bez Hashem, hopefully by then the weather will be spring weather, and right, you know. So hopefully we'll stay till Monday. And
Baruch Hashem,
Hashem, Baruch was keeping the snow till later tonight. We should be zochet to spring weather, God willing, next week. And we'll see everybody then.